Now, I don't preach the colic, but we have an especially, I think, beautiful colic today, especially when you look at it. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacrament, may shine with radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, God doesn't always choose his people from the most likely of places. When I was a kid, as most of you know, I grew up in Nebraska, and I grew up in a county called Merrick, which is pretty well central Nebraska, and the town I went to high school in and lived in was Central City, sort of like the old Andy Hardy movies. It was actually called Central City. Now, about 10 miles to the west of us was Chapman. And for those of us who lived in Central City, Chapman had only one purpose, and that was to make us feel more superior. And I think most of us, you know, from our high school days, there's always been that one school or that one town that, you know, you make fun of. And the funny thing was, it wasn't like we were rivals in school because we were a consolidated school, so they came to our school. But it was just one of those things where I guess our town of 3,000, you know, felt so much superior to their town of 1,200. And, you know, we, of course, looked at ourselves as, you know, we have a downtown, we have a theater, we have things here. But, you know, it's just that funny thing that happens as we look at other places and we have these perceptions. Now, in today's gospel, we hear Nathanael make this quip about Nazareth. Now, the region of Galilee, around the Galilee, was considered by many in Israel, especially around Jerusalem as such, as kind of an unsophisticated backwater area that lacked culture. And, you know, they probably didn't seem pious enough. Not that they were evil or bad people, they just didn't seem to really get the whole Torah thing. But the thing is for the people of Galilee, Nazareth was even worse. You know, it's an out-of-the-way town. It's mostly filled with, you know, what we would refer to as day laborers today and working class. People like Jesus' foster father, Joseph, you know, carpenters, roofers, day laborers, people who fixed roads. It wasn't really considered a place that anything wonderful would ever come out of. There's no famous people. The synagogue was kind of sketchy. And so when you have Philip, who hears about Jesus, and he goes to see Jesus, and he is told by Jesus to come follow, which in the book of John, Philip is the first person that Jesus calls to follow him. He runs to his friend Nathanael. He's probably excited, amazed, and maybe even a little confused by what just happened. That this person, this Jesus, whom John the Baptist, who up to this point many of them were following and hoping and thinking was the Messiah, this man that John pointed out and said, he's greater than I am. You know, a lot of people had to be intrigued because John had a great pedigree. Even though John looked a little rough around the corners, and let's admit it, you know, the man wore a camel's fur and spent most of the time, you know, waist deep in water, so he probably had a kind of a interesting aroma about him. And, you know, he had a weird diet of honey and, you know, basically the guy ate honey and bugs. But at the same time, he had a good pedigree. You know, it's like you could forgive his, his little peculiar traits because he came from good people. But here this person is saying, look, this man Jesus, the son of a carpenter, he's the real thing. He is the Messiah. And so he calls Philip, and Philip runs to his friend Nathanael, and he wants Nathanael to meet this person. And Nathanael is a little bit suspicious, and he's a little leery because, as I said, Jesus comes from Nazareth, a town that isn't known for producing anything totally wonderful. Nathanael seems to forget that throughout all of Scripture, if we read the Old Testament, and even later on in the New Testament, God isn't one of those people that seems to go out of his way to pick the right people. Throughout our history, God has chosen prophets and patriarchs and messengers who come from some of the most unusual backgrounds. People that you would never think would be called to come serve God, to be his voice. And Nathanael seems to forget this, that God calls people out of unlikely places. But being the good buddy he is, he goes with Philip to see this Jesus. And of course, Jesus, makes the comment about him being a Jew without deceit. And Nathanael wants to know why and how he knows him. And Jesus tells him about the fig tree. And for some reason, Nathanael is amazed by this. And Jesus tells him, if this is what it took, wait to see what's going to happen. That more or less, stay tuned. Now, one of the things I think is wonderful about today's reading is Philip. Is how Philip went out of his way to tell his friend about what he just found. Not caring where that person came from, not even considering how unusual it is. When Philip came to Christ, or Christ came to Philip, and Christ called him to follow, Philip understood that this was the real deal, and he wanted his friend to know. Now, each and every one of us are like Philip. Christ is calling us, and this doesn't matter where we come from, who we are, what we've done in our past. Christ has come to each of us, and like Philip, we're called to spread that good news, to leave other people know what we found. At the same time, like Nathanael, we're called to put away our doubts and to listen to our hearts, to realize what we are really hearing, what our hearts are truly telling us, and putting away that back noise in the world that tells us this can't be happening. Each of us has had some sort of epiphany. The majority of the people, a lot of us here, there are, some of the younger people who probably are under 18 who were told this morning that they were going to church to get out of bed and get dressed. I mean, that's how it usually happened when I was when I was in school. It was there wasn't any real question about it. But most of us who are past a certain age, we're here because something has spoken to our hearts. For some reason or another, we've come to know Christ. Maybe we're the type of person who has known Christ since little on. Maybe it's came to us at a different time, as a slow understanding. Or maybe like Paul, where we get knocked on our backsides on the road somewhere, and we realize, wow, this is the Christ. This is really Jesus. But for one, somehow or another, each of us has gotten here. because Christ has made himself known to us. Now, like Philip, we're called to go pass that message along, to share the excitement, the wonder, the bewilderment of Christ speaking to us, to allow other people to know about this wonderful thing. And like Nathaniel, we're called to put away our doubts, to open our hearts, and to realize that through God, all things are possible. Even the unlikeliness that we are called to be messengers. So my sisters and brothers, in this season of after the Epiphany, this time in which the Scripture has all these wonderful aha moments, I encourage you to reflect and think about your own aha moments and to share and allow other people to know the wonders that is our Savior.